welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Praise God. I'll tell you what, it's so good. So good taking communion. I'm glad we do it at Door of Life, you know, monthly, usually the first Sunday of the month. We actually did it the second Sunday this month, but it's such an important reminder to just go back, and God knew we would need this, to go back and to just remember where we've come from and to remember the amazing grace of God, that foundation. You know, I was thinking about that when we just said how his grace is much more abounded, that God's grace has lapped your sin. It is not even close. Just how much more his grace is abounded. And just to let your mind go there with anything the enemy's trying to beat you up with, to just realize the grace of God is greater than anything there. So praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. We're going to start this morning in a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it says, so this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. He says, so we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. He says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. New Living says, for we live by believing and not by seeing. Passion says, for we live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. Okay? And it is an interesting paradigm we experience as believers, you know, knowing we're confident that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Okay, now we know the Lord lives in us by the Holy Spirit. But the Apostle Paul is talking about a presence with the Lord. He even says later in Philippians, he says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We have the Lord, you know, the Holy Spirit's in us. We have fellowship with him, but we're doing it. We're walking by faith, not by sight. When you're present with the Lord, you're not going to be walking by faith in the sense you are now. You're going to be seeing him face to face. Right now, we don't see him face to face. And Jesus said, blessed are those who don't see, yet still believe. And Peter said, whom having not seen with our eyes, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Because we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us, who reveals and makes God known and bears witness with our heart that we're children of God and all that. So we've got this interesting paradigm down here that we're walking by faith and not by sight. We're not walking by what we see. We're walking by what we know about God and his word. I think one of the great illustrations we see here is, you know, one of the stories is just Peter walking on the water. You know, Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. He gets out of the boat. He starts walking on the water, obviously just a supernatural miracle. And as soon as Peter sees the wind, hears the waves, all that, He goes from walking by faith in Jesus' word that says, come, to walking by sight as he saw the wind and the waves, and then he began to sink. So we can kind of see in Peter's example, you can start out walking by faith, start out in a supernatural place in God, and experience wind and waves, and it can pull you out of that place and cause you to start sinking. Praise God, Jesus saved him, delivered him, as he does us. But we see something that we walk by faith and not by sight. And when that happens, I can imagine Peter as he's walking and just the emotional, you know, experience, because he sees wind and waves, he's got memories also of wind and waves and probably close calls with his life and flashbacks of things. And so it's not just wind and waves, it's part of a larger narrative as a fisherman. Wind and waves mean something. And so it kind of pulls on him from a place, another place of fear. And it pulls on him from another place. And you can get, when that happens, and all of a sudden, you know, it's just like you can get emotional, and then you don't respond in faith. And you begin to, you'd say things and do things, and you're just not thinking straight. That's what sight will cause you to do. You're just not, you know, processing and being led and listening to on the inside. A few months ago, it was kind of the summer. I kind of had, you know, when that happens, I call that snow globing. Okay, when you've got a snow globe and you've got it and you just mix it up like that and you get all the little snow flurries and it's kind of a pretty wintry scene and then it settles down and then you can actually see what's there. When you kind of get in a situation that shakes you, like Peter walking on the water, emotionally, it almost feels like an emotional snow globe in your head. You're not seeing clear. You're just like cluttered emotionally. And you're wondering, what am I going to do next? Okay? And so that's kind of that situation where you're stirred up emotionally, and all of a sudden you kind of start just guessing instead of really doing what God is showing you to do next. And so relate a snow globing experience that I'd had just a few months ago with when we were at Walmart. We were shopping away at Walmart. It was me and Julie and Abby. And for this year, it's like back in May or so, I went on the wagon, all right, as far as junk food. So I can't have pop and candy and all that kind of stuff. I know me, and I just kind of know what I need to do, all right? And so I've just had to cut that out, you know, for a season here, just to kind of, you know, just kind of help in different ways. So so when you do that, and I did that, but I've got one thing that I can do, and that is, and I can't do pop or anything, but I can do lemonade, all right? So when you do something like that, you become like a fine connoisseur of lemonade. You know, you're not trying to be. It just happens when you do that. So, so Abby's kind of with me, I came across this lemonade. It's called a Calypso, and it's like right out of the bottle, and it's just so good. And it's, you know, so it's kind of like me and Abby's deal. She likes it too, and so, you know, we like to, find that gas station that actually sells Calypsos. That's always a big deal. So anyway, we're just in Walmart, and as I was just, you know, kind of going down, if you know the Walmart in Sturgeon Bay at the far right, you got that whole grocery aisle, all those rows, but just before that, you kind of got this open aisle. Well, all of a sudden, about halfway down the open aisle, I hear Abby yell out to me, and she said, "Hey, Dad, they have your brand." And I looked up there, and she's standing next to a big display of Corona lights. And it looks a lot, you know, she saw the CA in the bottle, and my heart just sunk, all right? And the first thing I did was look for you guys. Fortunately, none of you were there, so. But I was snow globing, let's put it that way. And I'm looking back at her, and she's just like squared off on it with a little drama Abby Vanna White pose. And I'm looking at her, and the first thing I just said instinctively is, "Honey, that's not my brand." And as soon as I said that, it's like, oh, that's worse, you know. Why didn't I just, you know, be quiet, you know? But and then at that point, it's too late. You can't. Explain to everybody what you meant by that it's not your brand. It was just like it was out of control. So, but it's kind of like, you know, sometimes you get in those situations, it's like, that's not fair. You know, that's not fair. You wanna throw the challenge flag, you know, and say, that's, come on. And so these things, a lot of times when they'll happen, just things will happen, they'll be kind of out of the blue. It's not like you're preparing or expecting, they'll just happen and you just emotionally respond, you know, and you're not thinking about what you should say or what you should do. And so, you know, as I was just kind of, you know, thinking about, praying about this message and really just, you know, in my heart, just really wanting to just see us grow in the things of God, this scripture, we walk by faith, not by sight, wind and waves. It's an interesting paradigm. God knew we were going to be in this. Jesus was tested and tempted at every point as we are, yet without sin. But it goes back to this. We walk by faith and not by sight. To train ourselves off of what we see and to listen to what God is saying. You know, but it's so easy. Like I said, it's just easy to just react out of panic and fear. You know, to me, that was like waves and wind, and I was just kind of saying the next thing that I thought was going to save it, but I was, you know, that's like, it just made me sink worse. It was just, it was more incriminating to say something like that than if I would, I don't drink that. I don't even drink, so, but it was one of those things that, wow, Ed, what were you thinking? So, but I wasn't. So, which leads us to the title, Responding Spiritually to Emotional Situations, okay? That's where I want to go. Responding spiritually to emotional situations. And these are things that we just all deal with. Like I said, there's some things that come up. It's just like the perfect storm of weirdness. And it's like, you know. But to realize that no matter what it is, that God never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's always there. That there is stability no matter what it is that we're facing. But just to learn to listen and to learn to respond spiritually, I'm just calling it responding spiritually to emotional situations. And there's just a couple thoughts I really want to get across this morning. And the first scripture we're going to, or the first area is just that it gives Jesus control. You know, when you respond spiritually to an emotional situation, you're giving Jesus control of that situation. Let's just take a look at a couple scriptures as it relates to that. Romans 12, 1 through 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. This is such a powerful passage of scripture. And we were as you look at this scripture, first when you look at verse 2, it says, he'll transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. We know that we've already been transformed into a new person when we got born again. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, all has become new. There is a finished work of redemption in our spirit that, behold, we are now the children of God, okay? That's a done, finished work of redemption. To as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. If you've received Christ, you are a child of God. You are new. It's a done deal. But you've noticed that after you got born again, saved, that your mind would still fight you over things, and that there's a process in living out, walking out our redemption, of being renewed in our mind, being transformed by the renewing of our mind, changing the way we think. And so this is an important part of responding spiritually to emotional situations. Because when I've just had to look at my life and to see where I've responded emotionally to an emotional situation, it's kind of like that, I don't know if you guys, back in the 70s, when we would have our dental person come through in the elementary school, they'd give us these red tablets that we'd have to chew up, and then we'd have to rinse out, and wherever the red spots were in our mouth, that's where we still needed brushing. You know, that was kind of a way to kind of promote dental hygiene. And so I've kind of thought of that, because I realized too, where I'm responding emotionally, it kind of shows up some areas I need to be transformed. It's like I'm getting tricked here. And I need to realize that, yeah, that's an area I need to change the way I think in some things, because I'm getting off. You know, the way Satan works in this world is he's got, you've seen video, I should have probably got one, we've got several in our house, but it's like a video game controller where you've got the buttons and you got the little stick and things like that, and you push these different buttons, and one button will make you jump and another one will shoot, you know, fire, another one will make you disappear or something like that. You know, you got these different buttons for different things. That's the way Satan is. He has this little button. He has a fear button, and you got to jump when he hits that fear button, all right? He's got a confusion button, and you got to go in circles. Or he has a rage button. You'll turn red, all right? And this is how he's controlling you. This is how he controls the whole world. The Bible says the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And there's just the natural wiring that you have in a mortal body that you got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's just, you're born into that, and we all need the Word of God to change the way we think and to overcome those different things. You know, one of the things that I think of, and so just think of it like this, all right? As you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind, think of yourself as kind of rewiring that controller, all right? Because everybody jumps when you hit fear. Everybody does. Everybody does. But when you're transformed by the renewing of your mind and you're not living like a natural person, you learn to respond spiritually in an emotional situation. There's something different about you. I'm going to look at a few scriptures and we're going to kind of complete that thought. So if we're going to respond spiritually, not the way everybody else does, what does that mean exactly? Romans 8 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit, led by the Spirit of God, are the children of God. For you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children." So it's not just that we're not being conformed to the pattern of the world, but we're being led. We're being proactively led by His Spirit. We're giving Jesus control when we begin to listen to the Spirit on the inside. He now has control. All right? Let's take another look along this line. Jesus telling Nicodemus, He says, "That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you can't tell from where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit." There's a mystical element about you when you're born of the Spirit. Why is that? Because Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you." So what are we talking about? We're talking about giving God control, responding spiritually to an emotional situation. Jesus said there's something mystical almost about a person who's born of the Spirit. You can't tell where it comes or where it goes. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. It's not mystical in the sense that we don't know what we're doing. It's mystical in the sense that we are listening to what Jesus is speaking to us by His Spirit. You understand? Jesus gave us the Spirit of truth so that the Spirit of truth could take the things of Him and show them unto us. So we are being controlled. We are, or as Romans says, we're led by the Spirit of God. We're led by the Spirit of God as the Spirit of God takes the things of Jesus and shows them unto us. He leads and guides us into all truth. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. There is a control. So as we're talking about responding spiritually to an emotional situation, we got to realize that there's controls going on here. I'm either going to yield myself to the Holy Spirit and let God guide me and lead me in the situation, or I'm going to stay back on the old flesh natural realm and jump when I get the fear button. You know, it's being transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you decide, "I'm going to respond spiritually," I'm going to respond spiritually, I'm giving Jesus control. Let's kind of go back to just what we were talking about before. You've got that controller, okay? And Satan hits that fear button, all right? And you take that thought, and this is 2 Corinthians 10:3-4, but you take that thought into captivity and you bring it into the obedience of Christ. And instead of jumping, you say, "God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind." You're rewiring things. You're becoming a new person as you change the way you think according to the Word of God. And so it's literally like changing that. And this is when you see things from a spiritual perspective, sin takes on a whole different connotation. You know, sin, it's kind of like, "Oh, I shouldn't," but it's kind of the forbidden fruit. When you understand sin as it relates to having control of your life. A lot of times we get caught up, "I don't want to be controlled. I don't want anybody controlling me. I don't want to be controlled." Sin is the thing that makes you controlled. Sin, yielding to sin, causes you to be controlled. Whether you're consciously aware of it or not, most of the time we're not. We kind of got our playground, we figure it out. But sin is the thing that makes you predictable to Satan. You suffer no temptation except that which is common to man. When you yield to sin, Satan knows exactly what you're going to do next because you're playing his game. When you respond spiritually, he doesn't know what you're going to do next. You're not playing his game anymore. You're rewiring the controller. Yeah. Now when he hits his fear button, you count it all joy and worship Jesus. Say, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. When you begin to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you realize, man, I got control by giving God control. Yes. This is the way I get control of my life back, as I let him control by his word. To see through the snow globe and just say, I know I can't see with these eyes. I'm not supposed to walk by sight anyway. I'm supposed to walk by the word of God and by what I know is true in my heart. That's how this is supposed to work. And so as I begin to see that, praise God. Like I said, sin has a different connotation. For you, for any of you Lord of the Rings fans out there, I thought the telling little allegorical illustrations was when Frodo he had this ring. I won't get into the big story, but when he had this ring and when he put it on, he would disappear. And it was so cool. And the natural, man, you disappear, you're invisible. But the trade-off to that thrill, to that experience, was he became visible to the Sauron guy, the evil guy. In fact, when he put that ring on, he could say, I see you. And that's kind of the way it is with sin. When we do sin, it just makes us visible. It makes us predictable. He knows what we're going to do next. He's been gaming man with sin for years. So this is where we just got to get a revelation of it in a way that we're just, I can't mess with that. It messes with my orientation. It messes with my ability to hear God. And so you realize that and you say, okay, I'm not going there. I'm not going to walk in the flesh. I'm not going to copy the behaviors and customs of this world. That's what Satan's controller is wired to, the customs and the behavior of this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You will learn to know God's will for you. Again, you're going to rewire that controller to where those things just don't work on you anymore. Why? Because you're changing the way you think. And the cool thing about it is that once you begin to do this, and you begin to walk and flow just the way Jesus said it would happen. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. Another place he said, he'll cause you to remember the things that I've said. And that's a powerful work of the Holy Spirit. He can help you remember Scripture. He'll help guide you to Scripture. He'll take the things of Jesus. And so he will just give you that good thought, that insight into the Spirit of God. And when you begin to function from inside, it changes everything. Now, I will say this. It feels unnatural. It doesn't feel normal as you're starting to do this. You naturally, if you've been doing something a certain way for 40 years and you change it, and now you're going to respond spiritually, it's going to feel unnatural, but don't let that intimidate you. That's just faith, okay? You're doing it according to the Word of God. And the cool thing of it is when you begin to walk in the wisdom of God and you're getting thoughts in your head and you're getting things and you say, no, the wisdom of God that's from above is pure and peaceable and gentle. It's full of mercy and good fruits. That's not the wisdom of God. I reject that by faith no matter how bad I feel. And I'm going on with God and I'm staying with His wisdom, responding spiritually. That's when things begin to change. And I'm going to tell you something else changes when you begin to think that way and you begin to look that way and you're God-centric and you're listening to what God is telling you to do next and you're focusing on what He's telling you to do next, something else happens almost accidentally. You're not afraid of what Satan's going to do next anymore. He's afraid of what you're going to do next. Because you're dialed into Him now. You're not on His grid anymore. You're not playing His game. This is why it's so important. Love Jesus with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. I mean, just bring it back to that. I just love you, Jesus. I'm telling you, don't even try to make it about that thing. Just make it about loving Jesus. If you're struggling with something, start out with just, I love you, Jesus. I'm not trying to get free just to get free from that. I just want to love you
with all my heart and soul and mind and strength. And that's occupying some real estate in that. So that's why I want to get free from that. Bring it back to I love Jesus. And I'm dialed into you and what you want to say next. You're just letting him have control. And that's one of the greatest ways to get free from worrying about people controlling you, because you are already controlled. And you know you're controlled. You know you're controlled by his Spirit. And you know you're listening. As his Lord, he takes the things of him and he shows them unto me. I'm under the control and I'm under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I say what I hear him say. I do what I see him do. Praise God. It's a great way to get unstuck from a fear of being controlled too. When you begin to say, I am. If you have a fear of being controlled, you go after him and just let him control you. Yeah, I'll tell you what, that's it. Because then you know you're not perfect, but you know you're when you're tuned in and you know when you're listening for his voice. Praise God, I'm under his influence, I'm under his control. Something comes to me, what do you think about that, Lord? What do you think about that? Just beginning to learn to respond spiritually to emotional situations. And then finally, the awesome thing about it is that it confronts the source. A spiritual response to an emotional situation confronts the source of that situation. You know, if somebody is, if somebody's throwing something on your lawn, okay? Let's say somebody's throwing pellets or something on your lawn or something that's just not good, and you're just there picking up pellets, and they're just there, and you're getting them all picked up, and they just keep throwing more, but you don't even pay attention to them. All you're doing is trying to, you know, deal with this. It's kind of like responding emotionally to an emotional problem. When you respond spiritually to an emotional problem, you go for the source. You go for the person throwing the pellets and say, nope, you're not throwing anything on this yard anymore. You're taking authority. You're resisting the source of that, all right? See, because the emotional stuff is more symptomatic of the larger source issue. And so I'm responding spiritually. I'm not going to try to resolve every snowflake. You know, I'm snow globing. If you got that snowflake in your emotions, I'm not trying to resolve every snowflake. I'm cutting through the snowflakes and I'm getting through the source of what's going on here. And when you understand that, it's kind of like understanding the perspective of sin. It's not God trying to mess with your day or ruin your fun. He realizes sin puts you on Satan's grid, makes you predictable to him, and he controls you. And so God wants to set you free from the control of Satan by putting to death the deeds of the body, getting you yielded to the Spirit of God so he can control you by his Spirit. You want your good shepherd to control you, the one who is meek and lowly in heart, the one who says, learn of me, you'll find rest for your souls, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That's the one who you want to be controlling you, the good shepherd, the one who loved you and died for you. The one who first, that's the one you want controlling you. That's the one you want guiding you in this dangerous place by the hand through the snares of the enemy. That's the one we want. And as we do that, he confronts the source. So I was kind of saying that you understand the sin paradigm. It's not to spoil your fun or try to be holier than thou and all. You got to get those paradigms out. It's about control. It's about seeing sin through the lens of control and not letting it control you, getting freed up so you can be controlled by the Spirit of God so God's controller can lead and guide you into all truth. And as you do that, you're confronting the source. So kind of in that same paradigm, understand on the positive exhortation side of God's word, realize how these exhortations really get to the source too of giving Jesus control. James chapter 1, 19 through 21 says, so then, beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Wow, is he talking to some unsaved Neanderthals somewhere? You got to go back to verse 19 to find out who he's talking to. My beloved brethren. My beloved brethren, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. But you know that filthiness and overflow of wickedness, that goes hand in hand when you get into the wrath. So let everybody be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The wrath of man doesn't produce. So in that context of wrath, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, beloved brethren. Me and you. What is this talking about? I like to call this a cool-off scripture. We're talking about responding spiritually to an emotional situation. sometimes the way you respond spiritually to an emotional situation is not always going to be resisting the devil or rebuking. That's part of it. We'll talk about that one in just a sec. But part of the way is just to cool off. Lay aside all filthiness, overflow of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save you. So he's talking about people who are already saved, but like we saw in Romans 12, 1 through 2, there's still a renewing of your mind, a renewing of your psuche, or the saving of your psuche. Again, that's the same word here, soul, where you're being transformed. That's emotionally. And in that inflection point of wrath and filthiness and overflow of wickedness, to say, I'm going to respond spiritually, even though this is very unnatural to me emotionally right now. And I'm just going to do that. How do I do it? This is how I do it. Just faith works real life. This is how I do it in real life. I got a few scriptures that I go to. I read that scripture to kind of get myself orientated. Say, come on, Ed, here we go. And then I'll do the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. You know, I'll go through those scriptures to respond spiritually in an emotional situation. I'll go to Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. What about this? Is just cooling off. It's like a spiritual cool off. To just respond spiritually. Because, you know, wrath is a very emotional thing. Things just tick you off sometime or bother you, and just like, well, I can respond spiritually there. I can get control and patience. I can possess my soul in some of these areas. In fact, when you look at James, he says, he starts out this whole chapter by saying, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Wow, such an indifferent thing. And that's exactly what's going on. You have a trial, maybe you have wrath, and later on in the chapter he says, just receive with meekness that implanted word. So that's kind of one way that you can do it. And so you could say that would be like the anger button. So when Satan pushes that anger button, what am I going to do? I'm going to cool off. I'm going to the green pastures. I'm going to the still waters. And that's just getting the word. That's declaring the word of God. Because the Bible clearly says to be spiritually minded, it just is life and peace. So I'm going there. The next thing that I want to look at is just Psalm 91. Jody touched on this Psalm 91 last week. It was awesome. And she hit this section too. And I love this, how it just resonates. Just setting our love on him, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness. Love that. Trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him. No, never. What a great amplification of the Hebrew there. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I'll tell you what, there are times when you're feeling, especially when it's confusion or despair or things like that, and you're feeling like you're having to figure stuff out, you can just, and he's hitting that confusion button. Instead of you turning around, you're saying, Lord, I set my love on you. I set my love, because he has set his love upon me, I will deliver him. I'll set him on high because he's known. He'll call upon me and I will answer him. I'll tell you, there's just something about that spiritual response to confusion. It's like, I know one thing. As long as I set my love on him, he's going to be with me in trouble. And he's going to deliver me and honor me in trouble. As long as I set my love on him. What am I doing? I'm in a confusing, despairing situation and I'm just responding spiritually. That's all I know to do next. I can just set my love on you. Praise God. And there is such a comfort and power of the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, a lot of times this is what will happen when you're in this situation. You just get into that place, and this is kind of the Word of God. The Lord's kind of told me this in some ways. He said, it's always good to get in the Word of God. It's always good to get full of the Spirit of God. But sometimes it's absolutely necessary to get full of the Word of God. It's necessary to get saturated. It's always good, but sometimes when you're being attacked in particular, you need to get saturated. And that's the setting your love on him. And when you're in that place, I've just had him say, I know you're confused. I know you want to know what to do next. You want a logical. I'm going to give you one. Just get saturated in my presence and then just do whatever I show you to do next. Good. I got instructions. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, songs, hymns, spiritual songs, letting the word dwell in me richly, just saturated. All right, what am I doing? I'm just responding spiritually to an emotional situation. The next thing is Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiveness is a powerful spiritual response to an emotional situation. All right, but I want to tell you, I kind of go under the hood a little bit more too, on why this is such a big deal. Again, kind of another little paradigm shift as we're thinking about sin and seeing the spiritual strategy of it. Beyond just, I got to forgive, I should forgive. Again, there's just another spiritual strategy is it relates to you being controlled and not being controlled. There's a spiritual strategy for you not being controlled anymore when you forgive. Because when you don't forgive, you're controlled. We've been talking about past sessions about the accuser. That a voice of the accuser. Man, it can keep you up all night or wake you up in the morning where you're listening to constant accusing thoughts that just keeps you in a dark place. The power of forgiveness is it gives you a spiritual legal right to bring closure to all of Satan's accusations. In other words, you can put it this way. There's nothing Satan is accusing right now that I haven't forgiven. And when you've forgiven something, you can say, praise God, in the name of Jesus, I've forgiven that. It's the answer. In the same way as we were celebrating this morning about communion. Wow, what could wash away my... it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses and forgives me. It's amazing. It's mercy. It's grace. And he said, we love because he first loved us. And I realized that not only was my sin on this cross, but everything everybody ever sinned against me, every sin ever committed against Ed House was on this cross. It was paid for by Jesus also, along with my sin. And when there's accusations, and you can say, no, praise God. Not only that, it's reconciled. It's reconciled by the same forgiveness. It gives you a legal argument against accusation. In other words, aren't you glad that the blood of Jesus cleanses you in a way that God has no more legal argument against your sin? It's paid for. That's why we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. He satisfied the legal requirement of our sin with his blood. And when he says, forgiving one another even as God in Christ forgave you, not only did his blood satisfy the legal argument against any accusation from God toward us, but that same blood satisfied the legal argument of any demonic accusation against our brother or against our sister. They're forgiven even as. When you realize, again, I'm not talking about emotionally now. I'm talking about responding spiritually to an emotional situation. You can still feel, oh, but I'm hurt. But no, I'm talking about staying in the spirit. No, in the name of Jesus, even as God in Christ has forgiven me, I forgive. The same blood that satisfied my sin satisfies that. There's no more basis for accusing against that anymore. I resist it in Jesus' name. Case closed. There's a spiritual power there. There's a spiritual paradigm. When you forgive, it's not just to make you feel better. It's to quiet the voice of the accuser too. He has no legal basis to argue. He has no legal basis to accuse. That's forgiven in Jesus' name. Because the victim complex that tries to keep you in a certain place and feel sorry for yourself has no basis when, nope, by the blood, even as, it's forgiven, it's done. That voice has no legal access anymore. In Jesus' name, you're tearing down strongholds with those things. You're rewiring some things. Finally, this is Romans 8:14-16. One day as we were going to the place of prayer, we met with a slave girl this is the Apostle Paul in his second missionary journey, who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God, and they've come to tell you how to be saved. Now, that sounds good on the surface. But she went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and instantly it left her. There are times when you're going through and you're feeling that button, you know, and there's going to be times when you're not going to pray. You're just going to speak to you fear in Jesus' name. Your power's broken. I don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but I do wrestle against you. In the name of Jesus, I break that power. It is written, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. It is written, I have not received a spirit of bondage again to fear, Praise God. I do have a spirit, though. Power, love, and a sound mind. The answer sometimes is to just swing that sword and resist in Jesus' name. That's the way you respond spiritually to an emotional situation. I'm not trying to bring closure to Satan's confusion, but just swing it. There's power in that. You know what? It takes humility to just quote that scripture you've known your whole life in the face of this emotional complicated thing and to just say yes in the name of Jesus. That's still the answer today. Praise God. And the spiritual pressure of that breaks under the power of that word, breaks under the power of that scripture. So what are we talking about? We're just talking about responding spiritually to emotional situations. God knew that we would have these, these emotions to deal with and to work through. But God has also shown us, and I just love really the ultimate example, of course, is Jesus, because we see his whole life in ministry was just this. I say what I hear the Father say, I do what I see the Father do. Nobody could rattle him. He was just so dialed into the Father. That was his whole life. Jesus wasn't afraid of anybody controlling him. He was totally submitted to the Father. He was totally under the control of the Father, and he knew. That's the most secure person in the world, a person who just submits themselves to God, and they're submitted to God. I mean, that's just power. Even in your human relationships, if you want to talk about an employer-employee or parent-child, a spouse, those where there's authority, the only reason you even submit to those is because you're submitted to God. The ones that he directs us to, it comes through. In other words, if there is a doorway of submission to a person, there's a bigger doorway of submission to God. And you walk, because I'm submitted to God, I do what he does, shows me to do as far as submitting to people in different things in my life. If he didn't tell me to do that, I wouldn't do it. The only reason I do it is because it is written, he's told me to do some things. So even regardless of the appearance, it doesn't matter. Jesus was before Herod, and he said, Pilate, and he said, don't you realize I have the power to crucify you? And Jesus said, you'd have no power over me unless it had been given to you from above. Jesus knew who was controlling him. He was under the power of Almighty God. And when he was reviled, he reviled not again, but committed his case to him who judges righteously. Even though it looks like in the natural, he's being controlled. Nope. He's doing what the Father has told him to do. Even when it looks like you're being controlled, even when it looks like you're being played, and if you're afraid of what people think, you might be, you can't get into that. I'm submitted to him. I don't care about the optics here. I just want to stay tuned in. And I can suffer long and be kind. I can be not just want the power of his resurrection, but the fellowship of his sufferings, the whole thing. I just want to be dialed in. Doesn't matter. But you're responding spiritually to an emotional situation. I know this is growing up stuff. This is growing up spiritual stuff. I'm ready. I'm ready to grow up spiritually. I'm ready to go on from glory to glory in him. Amen. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for just the power of your word, your spirit. And I just pray, Lord, that we will just all of us together continue to grow in responding spiritually to these emotional situations in our lives, Lord, that we won't be tossed to and fro, but that we're going to grow up into the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ, and just be rooted and grounded in you, just listening to you, your lordship over our lives, Jesus. We love you. We thank you. Let's go ahead and make this your declaration of faith, if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit who lives in me, who takes the things of Jesus, my good shepherd. He's meek and lowly in heart, and he shows me things. I trust you, Jesus. I trust your lordship, your guidance. Take me by the hand. Show me what to do next. Make me mysterious to the enemy. I'm looking to you. You control me. You guide my life. I repent from the junk that has put me in Satan's vision, that's made me predictable. No more. I turn to God. I walk in the Spirit, and I don't fulfill that flesh. I walk in the Spirit, and I'm a mystery to Satan, but I'm clear to you, and I'm clear to me, because I know in whom I've believed, and I'm fully persuaded that you are able to keep that which I've committed to you against that day. And I will respond from my spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, you know, receive that this morning. You know, it's one of those things where we're all growing in this. We're all developing, you know. And sometimes, I'll just say this, sometimes it's like, yeah, I'm overcoming. And it's like, you're flying, and all of a sudden you bump up against something. Oh, that, you know. Does this work against that issue too? Yeah, it does. No matter what it is that you're dealing with in life, you can overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, be transformed where you're fully trusting God, piece by piece in your heart. Praise God.